Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg and Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration, Builders Supply Outlet, Joe Cotton Ford, and J.C. Licht. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/homesweethomechicago. Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Well, it's not pronounced your name wrong, too.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get a lot of that today, I'm sure. 720 WGN, it is Dane Neal here with you, in for David Hochberg, trying to fill his incomparable shoes for the next 3 hours. We've got a great show on tap. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics. In studio with us, some of the superstars of this program that you know is Tony DiStefano from J.C. Licht, Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. We'll talk about all sorts of things related to them, plus you and your phone calls, 312-981-7200, and the Mega Pros call and text line, again, 312-981-7200. So, Ashley, let's get it going. Elwood, buddy, how many miles is it to Chicago?
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hello, Chicago!
My name is David Hochberg, host of Home Sweet Home Chicago.
That's the best in the city of Chicago.
Where are you from?
Chicago. Chicago.
That's the Chicago.
We're on a mission from God.
It's time for Home Sweet Home Chicago. Here's David Hochberg.
I'm not going to be David Hochberg all day, so but we will be missing him. And I got to say, as a guy who has listened to this program and known David on this station and other stations for many, many years, he is the most exciting host in the mortgage radio show business. And not only do people have a lot of fun with everything he does, but they learn a lot too. And not in the least part because of the great people he surrounds himself with. And in studio with us from J.C. Licht, Tony DiStefano. So, Tony, great to have you in on the show
good
today.
To see you. Yeah.
What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about everything paint and color related and, you know, coming into winter here and going from outside to inside. Got a lot to cover.
And we've got Joe from Joe Cotton Ford, Tracy Kahn. Tracy, what are you focusing on today?
Well, today we're going to talk about inventory again, which has been a topic that we've been talking about for months now. But what kind of programs? Because for a long time, people were thinking it's not a good time to buy a vehicle. Now it's starting to become a good time to buy a vehicle again, or start to come with 0% for 72 months on F-150s and different models. So we're going to talk about some of the programs that are available for these now.
It's always changing, too, right? You know, there's something where the word on the street is, hey, this is a bad time for this, or here's a bad climate for this, or here's something going on. It's ever-changing, and we're going to get into all of that stuff as well. Builder Supply Outlet. Tom Janke is here. And so, Tom, you know, when it comes to home improvement, I know over the course of the pandemic, people were talking about that this was happening and people were getting in, kind of changing things around and making moves. And then all of a sudden, everybody heard, oh, you can't, right? Supply chain, nobody has anything. It's not the case, right?
Well, it actually is the case for a lot of things. You know, our lead times have extended out beyond, you know, periods that we've never experienced before. But, you know, part of what we want to talk about today is we've made some very, very big investments into product inventory that was accessible. So we have really packed our store to the point where in some cases you can't move around. There's so much stuff. But the thing is we have it. So we're going to talk about what we have and what is not out there.
Before we get into that, we're going to take a break and come back and get into each one of you guys and some of those subject areas. But off the air, as we were waiting to go on the air, we were talking a little bit about the Halloween situation. It's that kind of season. People are out there when it's home improvement. You know, people sort of like do up their home with it, whether it's decorations or something. And of course, the kids with, you know, whether it's with the costumes. And one of you guys was saying at the Halloween Superstore, your supply chain has hit them too, right? No costumes.
Yeah, actually, my son and my daughter-in-law took my grandkids, you know, to one of those stores that, you know, that pop up for that very short period of time. And shelves were, I'm not going to say shelves were empty, but if you looked at their experience going back you know, 2 and 3 years where, you know, it was jam-packed with material.
Yep.
Now it's very Spartan. So I don't think the kids have that much accessibility to choose what they want to be. It's kind of like you're going to be what they got.
I mean, when we were kids, like, there were times, and I was Batman for many years in a row, you know, so for all the Batman people
out
there.
I'm still Batman, but okay, that's okay.
Well, good, right, commitment, you got to stick to it. But there were times where we and friends, and we would be, and I know it's probably not acceptable now, but we would sit with like a hobo or something, where we would just have a flannel shirt on, and then that would be our costume. So maybe, do you think kids are going to be making more costumes of their own? Maybe their parents get involved, maybe do more with makeup. What do you think, Tracy?
You're going to have to start thinking outside the box. I mean, I don't see any other way around it. Maybe find some old costumes that you had or some clothes that you had from the 60s or 70s and put the kids in those now going forward. And actually, some of these kids like that stuff. They like dressing up like the older, you know.
It's vintage.
It'd be like my daughter when she was young. She asked, didn't you guys own any clothes that weren't black or white?
Yep. So as longtime Batmans, you know, Tom and I, and we'll get to you, Tony. So, Tony, what were you for Halloween? And then what's going on with that?
Well, shout out to my mom, Patsy DeStefano. She came up with the greatest costume when I was like 7 years old. She made me He-Man, and wow. It was just awesome. She made it herself. So that's the big one that I remember. But the Joker was popular, playing off of Batman from like 89. That was huge.
He's still wearing the He-Man outfit today.
Yeah. It's all natural. It is all natural. Before we go to break, guys, let's give out the number. So, Tony from JC Lick, give the number out and where people can find you.
Usually just go to jclick.com and pick any of our 49 stores in your neighborhood and go in and see the crew.
For Joe Cotton Ford, Tracy,
what? 630-682-9200 or at joecottonford.com.
Tom Janke, Builder Supply Outlet.
Well, you can reach us at 708-343-3900, but I think it's best that you go to our website and you can schedule appointments, and that is buildersupplyoutlet.com.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more Home Sweet Home Chicago. It is Dane Neal in for David Hochberg. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Daniel, in for the aforementioned David Hochberg. He is on official business as we speak and in studio with us for the duration. We've got Tony DeStefano from JC Licht. We've got Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet. Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. We're going to start out with Tony from JC Licht. So Tony, Tyler and Lombard, who is a loyal Home Sweet Home Chicago listener, wants to paint their stained wood and trim. They were told they needed to prime everything and then paint with two coats after priming. He called us to ask what the process is for a project like this. What's the right way to do this?
Yeah, that's it's a process to begin with. So something we've been seeing for the last like couple of years that's been going on, you know, people move into a house and it's got the old stained woodwork, old stained doors, and they want to turn everything white, you know, kind of a classic look, shiny white. It's great. It's a long-lasting look, never goes out of style, but to get there is quite the process. So yeah, everything that was in that call is correct. So you definitely got to do some elbow grease. So this is one of those things where it's probably not going to take you like a weekend. It's going to be a multiple weekend thing, so you kind of have to roll up your sleeves a little bit and get to it. My suggestion would probably be to wait after the holidays at this point and wait till it's just, you know, grim outside and life sucks, and you might as well just make it keep it that way. So just jump in. You're going to have to sand all your woodwork, not down to bare, but you're going to have to break the finish that's on there. So you're going to have to sand and prime everything with a stain blocking primer. Usually the best product to use with something like that is something that's got a little older to it. It's called Bin. It's made by Zinsser. It's a great product. It'll stick to the woodwork, and it'll also block the stain from coming through and bleeding through on the wood. So maybe take it in a, you know, kind of piecemeal it together. Do the trim first. Do the baseboards first, you know, then do the doors. So sand down everything. Prime everything, and then you're going to top coat it with a really good semi-gloss paint that you can get at J.C. Licht.
You know, with a lot of the shows on HGTV, they always have this transformation. It has to happen in 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And when they bring up the cabinet thing and you hit it, it is very popular. People are saying like, oh, we don't have to buy new cabinets. We'll just paint them.
Right.
And white has been the way to do it. And oftentimes they make it seem like it's just happens like overnight. I got to tell you, know, full disclosure. So my wife and I decided to do something like that too. We're like, oh, just get the paint that says it can paint over paint.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and it still took hours just to do it the wrong way.
Sure.
And the problem is, and I'm sure you get feedback where people are coming to you to get, you know, insight into how to do it the right way after they've done it the wrong way, because it just, it doesn't last at all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know, just like to blame the paint. Ah, it's paint's fault. It's paint's fault. You know, paint's not smart. You know, you open up, you open the top.
Not yet, right? You guys are working on it.
We're working on it. You know, you open the top, you pour it out, you put it in your brush, and you paint. Well, you know, you start using it, you start shutting doors, you start, you know, turning knobs and hitting things with your keys or your kids are playing, and things are going to chip off if you don't do it the right way. So most of the time, like I said, paint is not smart, so it's going to fail at where it's compromised. It's going to chip off where it's compromised, so you really do need to do the proper prep work. And if you've ever hired a painter and this is something that you're going to go through, ask the right questions, ask about the prep work, ask what they're going to do. Oh, I forgot to mention too, as you're doing all this with your woodwork is usually sitting on top of each other. So the gaps that are in the woodwork from like the door jamb to the base or the baseboards to the wall, things like that, those are usually open, which means when you put white on them, you're going to see a gap. So now you have to caulk everything too, and you got to fill all the nail holes, and you got to do all that. And that's a process that happens, you know, when you're priming. So you have to do all that. So it's an extra step you got to take. So my advice to you out there, if you're going to try to do something like that, is just take it slow, do a little bit at a time. I work in the industry. I did my kids' bedrooms a few years back. I didn't even bother, like, doing the baseboards. I just pulled them out and put new pre-prime stuff up.
Look at you.
Yep. But you still had to like caulk everything and then put a finish coat on top of it. But I wasn't so lucky with the door jams and the windows, because those were stained wood at the time. So it was a process. It took me a few weekends to do it. I didn't want to rush. You know, I would rather be watching football and doing all that, like most people anyway. So
we got a couple texts that we're going to want to get to, but I wanted to ask you a little bit too, because the white is so popular now with cabinets and just painting things. But, you know, as trends change, you know, we all see those shows where they're pulling out the avocado stuff or the Harvest Gold appliances and things. You guys have it, J.C. Licht, you have wallpaper and all that. Are there any other cool kind of hot trends that people are asking for these
days?
Well,
what a lot of people do is they work off of the white trim. So maybe they'll do their doors in like a black, and they'll do like a matte finish black. And that kind of gives like a two-tone effect that is really sharp looking. And if you said you did your cabinets, a lot of people, you know, that have nicer homes have islands. So they'll do the islands in like a bold accent color, like a blue or something. Mm-hmm. Or they'll do their lowers in a gray and then the uppers in like a white as well. So you could get creative with it. I just happen to like, you know, that timeless look of white. But if you want to mix it up and go with like a black, I'm seeing it in all the commercial buildings nowadays anyways. It's everywhere. Is that sort of black.
Let the listeners know we're talking to Tony DiStefano from J.C. Licht, and we got a text in from the 708 on the Mega Pros call and text line, which is 312-981-7200. The question is winter a good time to paint your home? I'm not sure if they mean the outside or the inside, but
definitely,
what do you think?
Definitely not the outside. Definitely not the outside. We got maybe a few weeks left. You can get outside, you know, in between the raindrops and everything before it gets really cold. But winter is absolutely a good time to paint your home. You know, you're kind of stuck inside the whole month of February anyway, so you might as well get cracking on something, make something look pretty and you know, bold and new, and give you a new fresh feeling going into spring. So yeah, for sure.
With winter, you usually don't have the windows open. I do, because I like fresh air. But is that from a ventilation standpoint, that's probably something you should always kind of watch?
Paint nowadays, it barely smells. I mean, I understand that, you know, smell is, you know, subjective and everything, but there's zero VOC paints out there. They emit very little odor. Benjamin Moore makes a product actually called EcoSpec that is like certified asthma certified. So they use it in hospitals. It's actually the only material that is certified for people with asthma. So it's 100% green. It's a great product. You could do that if you're worried about the fumes. Sometimes you can't avoid it, though. Like, if you're going to do your stained woodwork, you do have to get, you know, a product that has a little bit of an odor to it because it works. So you do have to bite the bullet there. But, yeah, get a little fan in there, get some airflow going, you'll be all right.
You'll be all right. And then from the 312, we've got the question. My kids are rough on our walls and kicking off shoes, throwing down sporting equipment, everything. Is there a product out there that removes scuffs, or will I have to repaint the whole room? And now we all remember, like, the magic eraser. Obviously, sure, that's not the answer, but yep. What are your thoughts?
Well, that guy said the right word, and I've talked about it on the show before. Benjamin Moore came out with a game-changing product about 4 years ago called ScuffX. And it does not scuff. So you paint the room. I have it all in my house. I have two boys, 12 and 10. I think I redid it 3 years ago. So they were smaller, roughhousing, throwing their backpacks, throwing their shoes, everything he just described. And it does not scuff. It's the resin in the material that is the maintenance. So you don't have to worry about it. If you do get, like, you know, a stain or something on it, it's washable. You just take a little hot water, a little soap. Comes right off. But as far as, like, scuff marks and things like that, they don't show up.
Wow. Last thing on that, because we've got kids that occasionally decide to go at the wall or the door with a Sharpie. So it's not just, like, inadvertent accidental
scuffs. Won't hold back Sharpies. Can't do that. But if they kick off their shoes, or, you know, you rub up against it or something like that, it's not going to show up on the paint film.
We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Tom and Tracy here on Home Sweet Home Chicago. Dane Neal in for David Hochberg until 6 p.m. Keep it here. We'll be right back on 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Wow. With Dane Neal today in for David Hochberg. Trying to just hold down the fort for David. Off on official business today. I'll be with you until 6 p.m. in studio. The superstars that you know and love are here as well, from J.C. Licht. We've got Tony DiStefano, Builder Supply Outlet, Tom Janke, from Joe Cotton Ford, Tracy Conk. Guys are here. We're going to continue our conversation with Tony a little bit. People were excited about the whole thing when you talk about the white cabinets and what's going on. A lot of people still love it. You know, it's very popular. Yeah. Some people are sick of it. 847 with a text. And, of course, you can text, too, at the Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. It was yuck with white. White has become the in look for cabinets.
There's always one.
For 15 years with white anything. Eventually it yellows. That's what they said. Can't wait for white to be to exit the in category. And so you guys at J.C. Licht, you sell all sorts of stuff. And are there any other trends that are coming up that you may think, I don't know if they're going to take over white, but maybe make a dent?
You know, on the commercial side and the office space side, and even in new builds, I mean, white is everywhere. You know, I get these requests for colors all week, and they're all pure white, Chantilly lace. These are all bright white colors. You know, these are going on the walls, on the trim, and just everything is whited out. But to help for, you know, the 847 that does not like white and thinks it's yuck, Let me touch on the it turns yellow thing. White paint turns yellow if you use an old oil-based paint. So new technology paint over the last 10, 15 years is 100% acrylic, and it really does not lose its color. It will stay bright white. It might lose its luster over time, and you might have to do a touch-up, you know, 5-7 years down the road. But overall, it will stay bright white. I can guarantee that for the most part. But if somebody's not happy, or even if you're kind of putting your toe in the water about color in general, all the paint manufacturers nowadays do, like, these big releases of color of the year. They're just bringing awareness to color. They're trying to get people out there and to bring a little warmth to their homes. So you've seen this,
well,
I take
yeah,
it.
But Tony, is I always wonder on the marketing side if that's a real thing or if that's decided in a conference room. You know, just like the jewelry stores, they'll come out with, it's the new You Really Love Her collection. And they kind of make it up and make it like, if you really care about these people, you need to buy them this. You know, well, where they're trying to make a color cool.
It's designer driven, and, you know, it's a big market, and, you know, Like the texter said, like, don't want to have white everywhere. You got to have a little color in your life. I'm not afraid of color, nor should you be. If it doesn't look good and you're not comfortable with it, just paint it again. But if you're out there, if you hire a painter, you're doing it yourself, and you see a color, and you don't like it, stop them immediately. You know, take a minute to take it in and, you know, reassess.
He is not afraid of colors. The very brave Tony DiStefano from JC Lick. Now, I don't know if you have to be brave to handle this. We got another texter that texted in from the 708. And this may not be as straightforward. And maybe there's some tough love you'll have to dispense. But it says, what is the process for painting plaster walls and ceiling that are cracked and peeling? That sounds like something maybe in older homes people are dealing with. What's the thing?
So if you're going to paint your plaster, it has to be intact. Plaster cures and dries extremely hard. So if you have an older home, you do have to be a little bit delicate with it. You need to make sure everything is dull first and foremost. So clean and dull to begin with. How do you get your walls to be dull? Well, your painter yourself can pole sand it. It's just a piece of sandpaper on a pole. They've been around for 70 years, and they just go up and down on the wall, just kind of abrading the surface and dulling the finish down. After that, I work in these buildings all downtown here. They all have plaster ceilings, and when guys go in there and they just start painting with acrylic paint, it all starts peeling off. It reactivates the plaster under it, and the paint just comes peeling off, and it's just a whole mess that they got to do. So to avoid that, you need to put an oil-based primer up on your walls first. We sell a product from Zinsser called Odorless Oil that we could shade to your color, to your top coat color. So go ahead and put that on first. That's your good base coat, and then you can paint with any acrylic from there.
It mentions also that are cracked and peeling, so maybe a little bit of prep work that goes.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, scrape the surface down, get off as much paint as humanly possible. I would then, after you've gotten all the paint off and to where it's still tightly adhering and you got all the flaking paint off, I would then spot prime that area with the odorless oil, and then I would do your patch. So the oil-based primer gives the patch something to bond to properly. So do that, prime the patch then with the same product, and then you can repaint the whole ceiling or wall or whatever. So it's a couple steps you
got
to do.
If you got any questions about painting, if you got paint or you know, some of the wall covers, even cabinets and that kind of stuff, Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. And is there something out there that can give, and you've mentioned a number of different things that over time have become advanced, where they give you the look and the feel of maybe a certain things people like, appreciate, and build into their homes, but the technology has got it. Is there anything on the plaster side that's maybe easier, doesn't crack? You know, no. But gives you that sort of plaster look?
No, plaster has kind of kept its, you know, form for many, many years. You know, being in Chicago, we're, you know, except the older houses, those are more plaster. You know, we're big with drywall. On the East Coast, they still do plaster. Why? Because it looks better and holds a finish longer, doesn't dent as easily. But we're just kind of not in that market. So there's really nothing you can do if you do have plaster walls or ceilings. Just kind of fix your cracks as you go. Use that process we just talked about. Scrape down, prime, patch, repaint everything.
From the 730, I live in a high-rise apartment here in the city, and when the wind blows, our building sways and our paint cracks.
Yeah.
We've been keeping our landlord in the loop with new cracks when they show up, but is there an easy solution for cracked paint? Is there anything we can do to prevent more cracks from forming? Maybe some sort of rubber, like stretchable paint? Is that what it is?
No. It's that's just kind of something that you have to live with. And I deal with customers that, you know, the home association wants to install like crown molding everywhere. And they go in there, they install it, they caulk everything, and within 6 months, everything is cracking or separating. Why? Because the building sways. And this is a reality. So there's really nothing that's going to expand quite as much as a building moving. I mean, they're designed to move. The engineers know this, and it's just something that is going to continue.
It sounds like from a danger perspective, maybe more than the paint to worry about.
But, you know, one thing I want to chime in is back a couple of years ago, I bought a 1924 house and redid it for my son, and it was plaster. I mean, that stuff is just like, it's like dealing with rocks.
Right.
But it had cracks, and one of the things that my painter showed us, he was doing some of the little bit bigger cracks, he ended up using a caulking in there. He says because you have, caulking will those things can expand and contract, and caulking will take more than just going in and filling it with
mud.
With mud, drywall mud. So going in and filling them with crack or caulk. I think it's an acrylic caulk.
Usually, depending
that he used.
The better caulks out there have a longer elongation.
Yep.
Which means they can move with the surface. So I've seen guys do that. They fill the crack. They kind of, smooth everything out. At least that's a base that's in the crack. And then they go back over it with the patch just kind of as an added protection to make everything look smooth and uniform from there. So there's lots of tricks of the trade out there. There's these meshes that guys use and that they plug into the cracks and screw around the cracks and then go back over the top of them with more plaster. So there's all tricks of the trade out there. You got to ask a professional painter, maybe an old school guy that works on the North Shore.
The caulk seems like a pretty good idea too, because then you're not always, repainting that same area, because if it cracked once, it'll probably crack again. Want to go out to Mary in Woodstock. And so this is it. You talk about a tough environment. This is an RV renovation. She wants to know how you paint the inside of the RV. Is it paint, or what you want to do, like wall, maybe a sticker? Like, what would you suggest for that?
For the inside of an RV? I mean, I'm of the ilk that like anything is paintable if you do the right prep work. You could get anything to stick.
Mary, tell us a little bit about the RV and what you're thinking, and is it made of aluminum? What's inside?
No, it's covered. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. It's actually covered with, it looks like maybe it's a wallpaper. It's not really. It comes from the manufacturer, but it's not paper. It looks like some sort of wallpaper.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's, I know a lot of the old RVs, they used a melamine. And they actually took and printed, so it looked like wallpaper, but it was actually melamine with a printed surface on it.
Sure, sure.
It could be. It's got a little bit of a texture to it, too.
Yep.
Okay. I would start with some of the, go to J.C. Licht. Where do you live?
In Woodstock,
okay. We got a store in Crystal Lake. If you can make the pilgrimage over there, get you in touch. We'll get you in touch with somebody, or we could even set up a color consultation for you as well. But we do have samples of wall covering manufacturers, and they make some pretty nifty things these days where you could go right over a surface with it. I'm not sure what the technology is behind it. But it's basically like almost a, I don't want to say a peel and stick, but it's something that you can put on a wall and you can, smooth it to the surface and it'll bond, it'll stick. And they have different designs and all sorts of things and pretty clever ideas.
Actually, I'd rather paint it, but I didn't know what you would do to prep something like that before you paint it.
Is it shiny right now or no?
No, it's matte.
It's matte,
but,
okay.
It's matte, but it's washable.
Sure.
Like I said, I don't know what it really is.
Get some sandpaper. Get like 180 grit sandpaper. Go over the surface really lightly. And then after that, you're going to prime it with a product that we have called Stix. STIX. I mention it a lot on this show. Okay. That is a bonding primer. That will stick to about anything. So Stix it. And then you can top coat it with anything. If for an RV that gets a lot of work, I would suggest that ScuffX paint that Dane and I were just talking about that doesn't scuff.
Super. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
Have a good one.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
We are going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to have more on this conversation. A lot of text coming in. You can add yours as well. Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. When we come back from the break, we'll have Tony and Tom and Tracy. We're going to be talking all things paint, renovations, cars. We're going to be talking it all here on Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane here with you in for David Hochberg on Home Sweet Home Chicago. Continuing our conversation, one more question on the painting and plastering before we get into to some of the other guys. And it's one of the things that you mentioned, Tony, and let the listeners know we're talking with Tony DeStefano from J.C. Licht, as you mentioned, on the fumes, that because of advancements in technologies, it's not necessarily something you have to worry as much about, but it says, how about warning about lead-based paint? Maybe a stripper that neutralizes the lead. And this is from the 847. So your thought, is anybody using lead-based paint anymore?
No, God, no. So like the rule of thumb now, and there was a big push with this about 12, 13 years ago. 1978 is like the, from what they understand, was when like lead paint stopped being used in paint. Most manufacturers in the United States stopped way before that as well. So if you have an older home, like most places sell a lead test kit, which is basically just like a swab that kind of, you know, push together two ends and it activates it. And then you rub it on the surface. And if it turns, I think, pink or red, it shows that lead is present. And you got to deal with that. But few and far between nowadays. So again, if your house is earlier than 1978, the odds are probably there's no lead presence, but that's kind of the date that they want you to go with.
In the world of kind of the paint education and history, like the lead was in there because it helped it adhere, maybe? It wasn't part of the wall?
I have no idea, actually, truthfully. A little before my time, from what I understand, it was just durable.
Just leave it.
And they just had copious amounts of it. And I think they just said, where are we going to put this? Let's just put it in paint.
Well, just so much lead, let's just put it in paint. They wanted to know, and if you, instead of, and you're probably going to suggest just repainting with something that's that fits with the times, but is there a stripper that neutralizes the, I don't know if you can neutralize lead, but they want to know, is there some product you can use to make it safe?
I would stay away from creating dust if you know that there's lead in your baseboards or your doors or anywhere in your house. We do sell a product called Lead Block that you could put on the surface, and it will encapsulate the lead. You have to put it on as a certain thickness to make sure that it's effective. And like I said, encapsulates the lead in there.
So you don't encourage a stripper?
No, I don't encourage that. And
in my mind, I'm hearing Dave Hochberg make a comment. So for all those fans out there,
that'd be Joe Hogle.
Okay.
So stay away from that. Don't sand if you know there's lead presence. Use the you're kind of pigeonholed into just repainting. So lead block, if you know that there is lead presence, follow the directions, put it on as at the proper thickness that they want you to, and then go over the top of it with a brand new, in my opinion, white semi-gloss on your trimmer doors.
That's Tony DiStefano from JC Lick. Tony, before we head into the next segment, give information where people can reach you, get a hold of all the JC Lick stuff.
Yeah, go to jclick.com. We got 49 locations in the Chicagoland area. We're probably right around the corner from one of your from your home. And go and see our people. They're there to help you with all your painting needs.
When we come back from the break and the news, we're going to talk in-depth with Building Supply Outlet's Tom Janke. We may get into a little bit of the combination. Mary from Woodstock talked about the motorhome and renovating that. They have cabinets in there, too. Maybe we'll talk with him about that, plus also how paint fits into the home improvement side and all of the things, including flooring and some of the trends as well. So we'll get into that as well here on Home Sweet Home Chicago. Keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN.
This episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg and Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration, Builder Supply Outlet, Joe Cotton Ford, and J.C. Licht. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/Home Sweet Home Chicago. Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN, it is Daniel in for David Hochberg. He is off on official business today, wishing him all the best luck. While we hold down the fort here today until 6 p.m. And in studio with us, stars that you know and love of the show, Tony DiStefano of JC Licht. We've got Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. Guys, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And now we're going to talk with Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet. So many questions came up as Tony was talking about, whether it's the painting and a lot of different questions. Of course, we'll have some links up at WGNradio.com on the painting and the plaster and all the surfaces as people get in there and want to change up where it is that they're living. So, Tom, I think, and you have been a leader in this business, in this area for many, many, many years, but I think it's as hot as ever, right, as far as interest, where people are thinking, not only do they want to change what it is they're doing, they actually can.
Well, we saw the huge boon when people started doing the work at home. when they start working at home, they're spending so much time there that they're starting to assess their living environment.
They're like staring at the wall saying, like, well, let's make our cabinets
when
different.
You're working a 9-to-5 job, you know, you're leaving at 7:30 in the morning, you're getting home at 6:30 at night, you got the kids, you got dinner, you're not paying attention to it. But when you're sitting in that house all day, day in, day out, all of a sudden the light bulb starts coming on. The other thing is with people not having to travel, that puts more disposable income into their pocket because they're not paying for tolls, they're not paying for for fuel. So it's actually it's elevating the disposable income. So all of us in I think everybody in every industry has seen a boon because, turn on the news. I mean, unfortunately, we saw the shootings and carjackings, but the other big thing in the news is supply side issues. And it is not only the lack of supply, but one of the things that we have really seen in our store, and I'm sure every store is finding this, we're literally adjusting prices every week. Every 2 to 3 days, we're getting notice of price increases. And these increases are due to cost of materials going up, because if it's petroleum-based product, you look at the cost of, petroleum is up. Trucking is an absolute farce right now, how much it is, to truck. We used to get trucks from California. We were talking about it earlier. And a truckload of material coming out of L.A. to Chicago used to be around 1,800. It's now around 9,000 to 10,000. So somebody's going to pay the price. We import. And you see, smattered all over the news, these container ships coming in.
Yep.
You've got the likes of the Costcos, the Walmarts. They're commandeering their own ships that's going to be dedicated with theirs. You used to pay $5,000 for a container, which is now $30,000.
It's the truth, well, yep.
Where absolutely. Do you think that $30,000 is going? It's going right to the bottom line of the cost of the product. So, we face these issues of elevation of prices, but I think more importantly is we're seeing just a lack of product being available just because there's just such bad supply side issues. We just can't get material fast enough. So we have been on a absolute rampage for the past month. I am buying more material that I've ever bought in my life. We have got, we're stocking it in warehouses. We're stocking it in our own place. People come into our place now and they're kind of going, you've got aisle 2 and 3 blocked off. Well, we got so much material. We just, and we don't necessarily have all the labor to put everything away as rapidly as what we would like. But one of the things that I talk to people and I wanted to remind listeners here is you're going out and per se looking for a front door. And we had a gentleman that came into our place the other day and he found one of our front doors. And when he was at another store, I won't mention the store, it was 13 to 16 weeks to get it. 13 to 16 weeks to get it. He walked out that day with his door.
Wow.
And installed it that afternoon. So, and we're not gouging anybody on prices because we have it. It's just we have really done a really good job from our purchasing department of getting a lot of material in so that, people can have that instant satisfaction and gratification.
In a world now where you can order things off Amazon and people are spoiled to the point where it can actually get to your house faster than you could go to the store and get back with it, people are expecting to have things, kind of available for them when the spirit moves them and they want to get it. And of course, everybody understands the supply chain thing. Talk a little bit, Tom, if you can, being in and around the business for so many years, where you've had to really kind of mobilize, whether it's with your contacts or insight or just kind of predicting the unpredictable, what may happen, to kind of pivot and plan for this, where maybe some of these other stores are thinking, hey, maybe this will pass, or maybe it's just business as usual, or you've really mobilized to kind of handle these situations.
The interesting thing is every time that we zig, the marketplace zags. So it is so difficult to predict what, it trends today, where we used to be able to go to trade shows and see what was trending. Guess what hasn't happened?
right.
trade shows. I mean, I think the National Kitchen and Bath and Home Builders Show was back on this year, but I think it's going to be a fraction because who wants to go and get yelled at because they can't get material? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're repositioning our store, and hopefully soon we can say stores. We're looking to open up another one, but we've really started to hone in on and be kind of a specialized store with the kitchen cabinets, the vanities, the millwork part, which is doors and which is trim. One of the things that we've been known for 13 years is in the tile business. We're actually getting out of the tile business because the trend is moving away from tile and it's moving into vinyl floors. So we are doubling down and we're doubling the size of our vinyl floor inventory.
Well, you can look at it too, is that you're going to be able to set some trends because you'll have things that are available. I'm sure some people may have it in their mind, hey, I'm going to get this, but then they come in and because of what you have available, maybe what you've pivoted to is what is available for them. And they'll be like, well, we'll just do this, right? And so you're there kind of educating people on some of the current trends and some of the availabilities as well. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet. We're going to talk some of those trends. We're going to talk about the flooring, some of the ways that the things you see on HGTV and some of the television shows and the ways that people are incorporating some of those new trends into their home. It is Home Sweet Home Chicago. Daniel in for Dave Hochberg. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN, it is Dane here with you. Home Sweet Home Chicago in for the incomparable David Hochberg, who's off on official business. In studio with me, we've got our stars from J.C. Lick, Tony DiStefano, having a hard time with the name, Builder Supply Outlet, Tom Janke, and Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton for continuing our conversation with Tom. When it comes to, you know, people wanting to renovate and update, you know, whether it's their cabinets or the flooring, we were talking a little bit during the break about the vinyl floors and how, and you had mentioned that you've decided tile. It's just whether it's too much trouble, not only because of all of the issues on the stocking and the storing, but just having people available to install it. And so vinyl flooring is an option these days.
Well, I'll tell you, we kind of made the conscious decision to get out of the tile. Number one is because we need the space because we're really concentrating on the doors, the trims. We needed to expand those areas. And then we've also seen a pretty large downturn in the tile business itself. Now, you're always going to be using tile in tub shower walls and shower walls. But floors today, and don't think for 1 minute that vinyl tile is only for houses 200,000 and less. We just sold some vinyl to a house that I know was probably close to $900,000, and they're putting that vinyl in. So what's happening is right now, good luck trying to find a contractor that has time to be able to put in tile.
Right.
9 times out of 10, people don't have wet saws. They don't know how to put in tile. And you can't expect them to. And you cannot necessarily click on YouTube and be a tile setter. Tile can be very, very intricate. And if you don't do it right, it's like painting a bad wall.
Yeah.
And you think you got a mess, your tile could be that way. But what happens is people can walk into the store and they can buy 200 feet of tile and do a bedroom, or they can do a kitchen, but they could do it themselves. Now, they might want to flip onto a YouTube, and you can become a vinyl tile installer by watching a couple of videos.
Yes,
it's because amazing. You know what? It's a floating floor.
Right.
It is a floating floor. You keep it a quarter of an inch away from the walls, but it's something that if you know how to work a razor knife and a tape measure and get a square, because you really want a straight line, it's not that difficult to put in. Now, the other thing that makes us a little different is we'll also coach you and kind of tell you, because you just, there is an art to laying it to where, you know, you got two pieces and it's like tile. You don't put them right next to each other. So you got one, you know, all these straight lines. You got to offset, you know, whether it's a 30% offset, 50%. Our people understand how to install everything that we've got. Now, I'm not going to say that every person is an expert on everything, but at least we have one person there that knows every, you know, my our door people can tell you how to hang doors, and vinyl people can tell you how to put floors down. So we do a lot of educating. We are just not pointing to aisle 19 and saying, I think it's down there.
Well, that's a luxury, too, in some of the big box stores. And I know a lot of the listeners will know this, is sometimes the people don't even know that it's down in aisle 19. You know, sometimes you're sort of on your own to kind of figure it out. You mentioned the vinyl floors in some of these high-end homes. And there used to be a stigma with vinyl where there was like it was lesser than. Is it, what has changed about it? Is it the circumstances? Is it the trend? Is it the kind of, or is it an elevated product now where people are really just saying, hey, it's just great?
Every manufacturer that makes vinyl tile understands the significance that they now hold in the marketplace. When it first came out, you know, they maybe held a 10% share. They're holding a 60 or 70% share. So by doing this, what they've done is they've upped their game with the, you know, we were talking a little earlier, and Tony was saying, I've seen some of this stuff. It looks like real wood. It stuff looks like real wood.
It's the design of it.
You know, you also have to look at, and you have to understand that there's a difference between a $1.99 vinyl tile, which is right now hard to find because there's tariffs on it, and a $3.99 tile. You know, you're either going to be dealing with a 4 mil, a 6 mil, a 12 mil. Some of it has a higher commercial rating. Mm-hmm. You know, we have one in our store now that is, it goes together like a vinyl tile, like a click lock, but it's actually a porcelain tile finish on it. I mean, it's incredible stuff. It was a one-time buy on it, but I'm using it in a flip house that I'm doing right now. This flip house is almost $700,000, and I'm using that in the house.
So it isn't a compromise anymore, and you got to look at the durability. We've got, you know, three kids and a dog, and just when you think about wood, it looks great, and it is relatively durable, but as far as the scrap, that's probably the vinyl stuff's almost impervious, right?
You know, you mentioned a huge thing. It's called dog. One of the things that happened during this pandemic is the rise of people buying pets.
Or adopting,
you know, adopting pets or getting pets in general.
Yep.
I got a dog, too. That thing makes a mess all over the place. It doesn't wipe its mouth when it gets done drinking.
Never.
So it's waterproof. The colors that are coming out are incredible. The definition that they're putting on these things is amazing. I mean, you have so much that makes it look like real wood.
It's really cool. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
I got a question. Talk about like the versatility of it. Like, can you put this over old tile in a bathroom? Can you lay it over old wood? Like,
you, in some circumstances, yes, you can. Yeah. The only thing that you've got to watch is if you have a lot of uneven tiles, my suggestion in a bathroom is take the tile out.
Yeah.
You know, you're always better doing it. But I've got people that have older, you know, when you look at our store in Broadview, look at the demographics around or the type of houses.
I mean, they're old linoleum or something.
Old linoleum. Yeah. As long as it's not coming up, go right over.
Exactly.
You have, you know, a lot of times in the older houses, like that 1924 house, it had the real narrow plank wood.
Sure.
You can go right over the top of it. And today, when it first came out, there was no padding attached. You had to put a pad down, then you had to put this down. Now it's all padding
tile.
It's all waterproof.
Right.
And you take basically an X-Acto knife, or not X-Acto knife, but a razor knife.
Yeah.
And you score it and you just snap it and away you go.
You could walk around, and it's got a little bounce to it too.
It, you know what? The biggest thing is with that pad attached, women and high heels. Before, you'd hear them click like Clydesdales.
Yeah.
And now with that padding, it sound deadens it. Yeah. So you still got to be cautious in some of these high rises because they have specific densities that you can use so the people that are in floors below won't hear it. I know a lot of times they had to put cork down and then put it, but you know, check with your building on that. But you know, the other thing I wanted to touch on, which we've gotten, you know, some textures here, and that is this color thing. We're very, very big into kitchen cabinets, and they're talking about white. Everything is white. Well, you know what? We're doing perimeters in white. We're doing islands in the blue. We're doing islands in the gray.
Yeah.
But the new trend is doing islands in a wood tone. I'm doing this flip house, and we've got a wood tone island going on. Just just because it's again, it's something different. When we get into the doors and trim, they're painting all of their trim, their base and their casing, they're putting white. But the new thing is, I got people painting doors green.
Sure.
I've got them painting blue.
Yeah.
I've got it being black.
Black's big.
And I'm doing this one right now. I'm doing gray. And the hardware, your handles.
Yeah, nice accent.
Black.
With it. Right.
Black faucets. Black candles.
Black faucets.
Hot.
I don't know. Well, you know, some things come and go. It's great to see wood making a comeback. In the past, you know, everything, whether it was the floor of the cabinets, everything was wood, and a lot of that natural beauty would come through. It's good to see that coming through as well. And for the vinyl flooring, one of the last things, you know, of course, the bathroom, but I've seen, you know, bigger homes, even great rooms, right, doing all the vinyl flooring and the vinyl wood look flooring for that. One of the questions that's been a recurring theme here is how safety and all that. And from the 815, a text, how green is vinyl? And they thought that making it had toxic consequences. So is that one thing that's,
no.
Yeah, just
you know, I think they're looking at the toxic consequences when a certain big retailer was having some issues in California with, I forget what was coming out of the product. The same thing that they use for embalming bodies.
Aldehyde or formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde, thank you. The name just... So formaldehyde, it had formaldehyde coming out. You know, we talked earlier about VOCs.
Right.
VOCs is basically volatile organic compound. The way that the United States government has restricted, you know, VOCs and what have you, this product coming in, even though the vast majority is imported from Asia, some comes from England, don't worry about it whatsoever. There's no VOCs.
That's Tom Jake. He's from Builder Supply Outlet. We're going to take a break for commercials and news. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the painting, about the plaster, or certainly about the renovations. We're going to talk some cars with Tracy Kahn and all that here on Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's Dane. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
WGN, we are back. Home Sweet Home Chicago. Daniel in for David Hochberg until 6 p.m. And in studio, our stars, Tony DiStefano from J.C. Lick.
We got
Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford and Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet. And
wow, I'm a star.
Yes. Before like we spring.
Put on your sunglasses.
Before we spring, Tony, we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the extra things that were happening. Where this was a caller from the 414, so up in Wisconsin. They have a room in their older home, and the attic has a calcimine plaster. They're having trouble keeping paint adhering to it. What type of primer will stick to this?
Right, yeah. So it is an older house. And kind of what we touched on earlier, you do need to use an oil primer as a base. So to recap real quick, if your walls do contain calcimine, and I forget the origin of it, but it was something that they put in there, and it makes it extremely difficult for these newer acrylic paints to stick to. We see a lot of it with, like, you know, CPS schools during the summer and things like that. But a way to avoid this is, again, a little bit of sandpaper, scuff up the surface a little bit, and then prime it with an oil-based primer. I recommend our Zinsser odorless oil. Takes the fumes down a little bit, but it'll still do the job, and you will get good adhesion to the plaster. So once you prime it with the Zinsser odorless oil, then you can go over the top of it with any of our Benjamin Moore products that you could find in any of our J.C. Lick locations.
And Tony, before we let you go in spring, you give the information online where people can get a hold of either you or the stores and make those changes and add that paint.
Go to jclick.com. And go to locations, and we have 49 locations. We probably have one within 5 to 10 minutes of your home. Go in and see our people. They'll help you out with any of your projects.
From the 312, and this is for the Mega Pros call and text line, 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts as well. Tony, this is probably a little bit you, and then part Tom. It says, Pink Guy was talking. That's Pink Guy. That's Pink your super superhero name. Pink Guy was talking about white being in. What's the deal with cabinets and vanities? Is it white walls with a pop of color with products? And I know Tom had mentioned a little bit about that. How does it seem to be leaning these days? And so, Tom, you had mentioned, you know, some of the natural woods are getting more and more popular, and
they are, even though I will tell you, vanities, white vanities, gray vanities, and blue vanities,
yep,
that probably covers right now about 93%. I mean, it's amazing. It just, everybody wants that clean look. And the one thing about white in cabinetry, white will never go out of style,
right?
Ever. Now, the blues is a trendy thing.
Yep.
It will come and blues will go. White, absolutely timeless.
How long do these trends kind of last? So Tom mentions that blue. You see it on the home improvement shows all the time. It's sort of that, like, that deep sort of navyish blue that people are throwing into almost anything. Are you guys stocking on that, or do you have to, whether it's supply chain or making different colors? I'm not sure if there's anything involved with that. Are you guys planning out that next color? I know you mentioned sort of the companies are coming out with, this is a new popular color, right? But what are you seeing?
Well, we do see that. It's okay to get creative. There's so many different features that go into a space nowadays. Like we were just talking about with Tom, like the flooring that comes with it, it offsets those cabinets. So you could get a little radical with some of these lower or islands and go these bold colors. And even in your bathroom with the tile selection and things like that, you can go with that piece that really pops and do a funky color and get away from kind of that old, you know, oak looking wood. We see a lot of paint. We don't care, because we could always just say paint it. Paint it with what's popular at the time. But I would say overall, probably like 10 to 15 years, things last. Like if you see something on TV, you're like, oh, that's a house from the 90s or from the early
2000s. Right, you can totally tell.
You can tell. Everything's beige and, you know, everything is, you know, stone and natural. And that's just the way it is. So I don't know. I happen to like these looks that go on now with the cool flooring and then the white and then the black accents and things like that. So, you know, I think that's here for
how long? Of course, when it comes to the painting, you can always just decide to go ahead and update it and stay with whatever the trends are. What is a typical length on this white? As Tom said, it's forever, and so many people, you know, not everybody's agreeing with that, but so many people love that. How long do these trends last? I don't remember the history books back, but how long was like the avocado harvest gold kind of kitchen fad? I mean,
yeah,
that was as big
before
as
before my time, but it seems like 10 years probably.
Oh,
ago.
Oh, no.
10, 15 years?
I've, unfortunately, due to my age, I've been around a little bit longer than Tony. Prior to being in this, I was in the plumbing industry. And the plumbing industry is primarily where the harvest gold and
the
avocado came out.
Stuff.
That trend actually lasted almost 30 years.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. It was back in the late 40s and 50s that the harvest gold came out,
yeah,
which was primarily from the appliance. Fresh green was in there.
The avocado kind of green was there.
The avocado green. And that went all the way in from the late 40s, and it really started to trend up in the 60s.
Okay.
And then it started to peak towards the end of the 60s, started to fall off into the 70s. And it was actually the 80s, because I used to own a manufacturing company that made
bathtubs. Yep.
And we made harvest gold, fresh green, avocado.
Bathtubs?
We made bathtubs and chocolate colored.
You're dating yourself there, Tom.
I, unfortunately, but I need to educate people at the expense of my age. But yes, it was a 30-year trend.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're not like Liberace or maybe someone super eccentric, you know, because you can, I think, like or not like maybe kitchens being all white, maybe with a pop of color. But in the bathrooms, do you guys think that's ever going to come back? Just in general, it's not necessarily, other than maybe Tom, their wheelhouse, but like, are we going to see like chocolate toilets and
vintage? Some of these younger generation kids are looking for vintage, and that's why you'll see some of these old places in Chicago, old houses in Oak Park and what have you, still have that harvest gold. My son's father-in-law was up in Chicago, and we redid all of his kitchen and all of his bathrooms. He had harvest gold. He had some of the most unique fixtures in there. He sold it to vintage place instead of just scrapping it.
Wow.
Sold it. And it was kind of like the clawfoot bathtub.
Right.
Try to buy one of those 1920 clawfoot bathtubs. You're going to pay thousands of dollars. But people are starting to put that vintage. It is a fraction of the marketplace.
Right.
Fraction of the marketplace.
I can't see it.
Don't
man.
Rush out and go find some, because it's a fraction of
but
the marketplace.
But you never know. We're going to talk about cars, how certain cars come back into popularity, where maybe they were sort of just everyday cars back in their heyday. And I think that that's what you're looking at. You know, the people who get to a certain age where they want to kind of recapture what they feel is vintage. Maybe it's the clawfoot tub for people in past generations. And maybe in the future, that whole Harvest Gold thing could be coming back if people want to recapture some of that sort of mid-century modern feel that we all sort of hoped we were past. We're going to take a break, and we come back, we are going to continue our conversation with the guys, and we're going to talk a little bit more cars. We're going to talk some supply chain and all of that. So keep it here. It's Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
We are back. Home Sweet Home Chicago. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg, off on official business, wishing him the best of luck for him and his family. Today in studio, we have two superstars with us. We've got Tom Jenke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford, and we're going to get into Tracy and a bunch of things. And for listeners of the program, they know that I handle a lot of the coverage when it comes to whether it's the auto racing or the cars or the, you know, all of that kind of stuff when it comes to the automotive stuff. Mecum Auto Auctions is in town. People are seeing cars. They're excited about cars, and Tracy has them. So, Tracy, talk a little bit about the dealership, Joe Cotton, and what it is that's going on with you, a little background on everything happening.
Well, the background is I started there almost 41 years ago. It's pretty good since I'm only 35.
Right? I was gonna say, amazing. Who's dating who now?
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's a dealership where it's not a big group where you're treated like a number. We still know everybody that walks into the dealership. I sit right in the showroom. I don't have an office outside of the showroom. So if people have a problem and they want to come and talk to me, they just come right in and they talk to me. I'm right there. And I don't hide from people or anything else. The easiest way to handle something going on is to, you know, grab the bull by the horns. So, but beyond that, we closed our body shop a year and a half ago. We opened up our commercial service center. That's been going really well for us, especially with the shortage of vehicles. A lot of people are spending money on their older vehicles right now. And especially these fleets that need their vehicles on the road every single day, these people need their vehicle up and running as quickly as possible. So we've spent a lot of time and money on making sure we had the right people and the right processes and stocked the right parts for these vehicles so that we could get them in, get them back on the road quickly, and these employers like Tom and Roy and these guys can make some money.
Just like Tom was saying, you know, you got to kind of plan ahead because there's these challenging times and you want to be able to anticipate things in advance. And you guys are doing that with the supplies that you have. And for those people that are looking for the car and a car in the market for a car or involved in the car business, they know what's going out there. For those listeners that maybe, you know, haven't had, like we've had the same car for the last few years. We haven't really been in the market. We will be probably in the next year or so. There's a lot of things going on and a lot of things not going on in the car world these days.
There is. Inventories are very short right now. We're up to 43 new vehicles right now, and we have about 35 used. So we're maybe 15 to 20% of what we should have going into winter right now.
But that's still kind of a lot compared to some places. You look at some lots and they're almost empty.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tom and I were talking about that, a Toyota store that we drive past frequently. They have 5 to 10 cars on the lot at any given time, and you're thinking, how in the world can they stay in business doing that? But you have to do it with service. Then
you just have to be really excited about those cars.
Like, absolutely.
If you don't want this one, we have this one.
Yeah.
From the 630, from the Mega Pros call and text line, you can add your thoughts as well, 312-981-7200. From the 630, I need a car right now because my car is on death's doorstep. That's not good heading into winter, and it's not worth it to fix. I don't want to spend an arm and a leg on a car. What is it looking like out there with a chip shortage and supply chain issues? So maybe a little bit on that just in general, and then also the chips.
Sure. So the one thing I pulled out of that was he doesn't want to spend a lot of money for this vehicle. And I was talking to Brendan about this before the show. The Maverick is out now, brand new vehicle, and it's a pickup truck. It's a four-door. It seats 5 people comfortably. And we have them on the lot right now for $22,000. It's amazing that you can have a brand new vehicle in that price range and be a pickup truck on top of it.
Tracy, was that the goal? I know a lot of smart people get together in rooms. They make a lot of decisions in order to bring cars to market. And was that it to say, like, hey, this is a really hot kind of product in the market in that space is the pickup truck, and we want something that's approachable, that's affordable for people, but still has bells and whistles, you know, that people are expecting in cars these days.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people said, did you guys get out of the car business? And a lot of people, if you look at all the manufacturers, everybody is getting out of the car business because people are buying. 87% of the market was truck and SUV. So that's what people want. But Ford had to find a niche there to build an entry-level vehicle that people would like to drive. It's a nice-looking vehicle. Just ask Brendan. And or you looked at it yourself.
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, I think it looks really cool.
And so younger people can afford that, but surprisingly, people on their last vehicle are now starting to buy them too. It's, you know, they're doing projects around the house. They don't need a full-size pickup truck, but they want something where they can go to the hardware store and pick up something and not get the inside of their vehicle dirty.
You have to have the ability to pick things up, move them around. And with everybody working on home improvement things, you just can't stick it on your back seat anymore. So a truck has become more versatile. But before we go to the break, talk a little bit about how they're making trucks for everybody. You mentioned, you know, seats five comfortably. You get in some of these trucks, you don't know you're in a truck. You know, you've got great seats, a lot of luxury appointments. When I was a kid, a truck was a truck, right? It felt like a truck, and you wouldn't, you know, go out to dinner in a truck. It was for work. But now it's everything.
Well, and I think today a truck is a car and a truck at the same time. And I think Tom would agree. If you sit in the back seat of our vehicles, our F-150s and full-size trucks, you can almost put your feet up and not touch the seat in front of you. There's just so much room in the back seat of that. And then it's a pickup truck on top of that. So it's almost like killing two birds at one stone. And these things have become so luxurious today, and they ride so well, and they're so quiet. It's not like the trucks that we had in the 70s and 80s, where it was just a regular cab truck, and two or three people could sit in there. And now you take your whole family out in a pickup truck.
Some of the things that people look for when it comes to the, like, we're used to it, which is, you know, you're going to change lanes, a little, you know, alarm comes up to see if there's a car in the way, or you've got sort of the, I don't need vehicle assist, but maybe a backup camera. And so this has a really approachable price tag, but also has some of the base, that things are basic now. They used to be 5-6 years ago. These were big advancements. Wow, your car does that. And now it's things people expect.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like more and more with the safety features, like you said, lane. Now, even the Maverick has lane keeping and the Bliss mirrors. It'll tell you if somebody's in your blind spot. Backup cameras, like you say, they even have 360-degree cameras. You can see all the way around you. So it's pretty amazing where we've gone with this.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. Lots of texts and calls coming in. We will get to all of them. You can add yours to the Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. You can do that. Quick break, well, and some news, and we'll be back with more Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's Dane on 720 WGN.
This episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg and Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration, Builders Supply Outlet, Joe Cotton Ford, and J.C. Licht. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/Home Sweet Home Chicago. Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is not David Hochberg. It is Daniel in for David Hochberg. Until 6 p.m. today, holding down the fort for David and the stars of the program. Wanted to mention, because not only does David help people out with you know, all the mortgages and all the home improvement stuff, all the things that people know, love, and appreciate about the program, but also some higher purpose and great causes as well. There's a Lifting a Hero program. There's a contest here. Enter to win a home stair lift for a veteran, and it's Access Elevator. WGN Radio invite veterans who serve in any branch of the U.S. Armed Forces to enter for the chance to win a Saveria K2. That's probably a good one. Straight stair lift featuring an adjustable arm width and 350-pound capacity. All you have to do is go to WGNradio.com/contest and get in on that and enter, and Lifting a Hero is what they're doing. So thanks to David for that. And continuing our conversation with the guys, we've got Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet. We've got Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. You can add your thoughts as well with the Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. So one of the questions, Tracy, and getting into the car side of things, and it is a tough world out there for people that are looking for cars. They're not always finding the cars that they want. You mentioned a little bit off air, and I think on as well about some of the parts that are difficult to find. You've got a decent amount of cars on the lot as well. But for those people that are getting approached, as you've reached out to some of your loyal customers as well for their used car, that's happening, right? Where dealerships are looking to, hey, you know what? If you're not using that car and you don't want it, people need it.
Absolutely. Tom and I were talking about this earlier. You know, I get this phone call that they want my car. Well, if we get a customer in our showroom and they're looking for a specific car, we go to our database and we'll say, okay, here's a whole list of people that have a car that would fit this, the parameters for this customer. And then we'll start calling these customers. Hey, we have somebody that's interested in your car. Would you be willing to sell it?
How does that conversation, because it seems like such an odd conversation to get. It's like, well, I never thought of it.
Yeah, you know what? And actually, it works really well. And Tom says, is this BS or is this real? And I said, right now, it's real. I can tell you it's real because we do it. But it's if a customer comes in looking for something specific and we can tell them the entire history of that vehicle because we sold it new, we serviced it every time it came in. Now we know the entire vehicle and we can probably tell them about the family that owned it as well. Then it makes it more sellable for that customer, and then they can trade it in. They get a lot more for the car because
is that what people are looking for? Because just like farm to table on the food side, people want to know, you know, where the cow came from and all that kind of stuff.
What the cow's name was,
right? The people want the whole, yeah, they all want the whole 23andMe on the car and everybody that.
I got to tell you, Tracy and I were talking about it over the air about them calling customers and saying, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a call, you know, from either a car or the motorcycle. And they said, we have somebody that's looking. And I look at my wife and I go, no way. Now Tracy just debunked the myth.
Yeah.
Is the truth.
Was that true forever? Real. It maybe not. Maybe, right. You know, we just started doing this probably a year and a half ago out of necessity because we don't have enough used cars. So now where do we find a car like what they're looking for? We look through our database and we call our customers. And a lot of times we can get more for the vehicle because, well, number one, you're not going to the auction. And you're buying a car that you know nothing about, and then you're paying the auction fee, and then when you get it back to the lot, somebody's sending it through the auction because something's wrong with it. We're calling our customer because we know they bought it from us, they serviced it with us. If there was anything wrong, it's probably under warranty, so we can take care of it anyway. And it just makes the vehicle worth more money.
Oh, there's got to be a huge comfort level there, you know, for the people to know that you know that car. So this isn't a used car, and sometimes people get into things and you never know what's going to happen, right? And everybody hopes for the best with the best intentions. But like you said, if you sold that car and you've been servicing that car, you've had a relationship with it and you understand what it is and what it isn't. So if Tracy is calling you, then it's probably good. If it's a Nigerian prince calling you about your car,
maybe it's got to be real.
Maybe just not wire the money to my account.
But you got to think in this world for those people out there is that it's probably a good deal. So Tracy's not, and other dealers or people that are calling up, you know, asking about the status of your car, they're probably not saying, hey, we need cars and we want you to just give them to us. It's not a Cars for Kids program. It's probably a good deal for some of those car owners, right?
Typically, yes. And, you know, we know. So what's happening is we know what the vehicle should sell for, and we're going to pass a lot of that additional monies on to our customers that have the car. And, you know, then they get more for their trade-in, and then they buy a new vehicle, and a lot of times it works out better for them.
In the area code 423, actually, this is a 404 vehicle, and I think that we may have answered that question, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Can I sell my vehicle back to Joe Cotton?
Absolutely.
Or how does it work?
Absolutely. Those are the cars we want because we know the history of that car better than we know the history of a car that another dealer sold.
And the question, I think, is an important point here, is that if you don't need a new car, but you just want to get rid of your current car, and probably, right, you're not obligating. You want more cars. You're not trying to sell them another one necessarily.
Absolutely. We have banners up out by the road that say we buy used cars because we're trying to find more cars, especially our customers. But early in the summer, I had gone on and talked about how we need to buy more vehicles. And we had gotten dozens of phone calls from WGN listeners who wanted to sell their vehicle. And I had a couple up in Round Lake Beach. I drove up to their house, and they had a Kia Soul that they wanted to sell. And I went up, and I think they were a little bit surprised to see me. And he actually called in that the next time I was on and said what a nice and easy process it was, how surprised he was that it was that simple.
Yeah, you get a celebrity visitation in the car world. It doesn't always happen. We come back, we're going to continue our conversation with this. We'll talk with Tom as well. There's some great texts coming in on supply chain and some on the home improvement. Certainly the cars will do that as well. Mega Pros call line, text line. Add your thoughts as well, 312-981-7200. Quick break here on Home Sweet Home Chicago with Dane. It's 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN, Home Sweet Home Chicago in studio. It is Dane here with you, along with Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford, and 312-981-7200. Your calls, your thoughts, your texts at the Mega Pros call and text line. And so one of the questions that came in was 312, and we mentioned the Maverick, and that is out there, and you've got that. If Brenda doesn't go ahead and buy all of the available stock, is do you have a constant rotation of vehicles on your lot, or if I come one week, will I see similar cars the next week? Well, some will be similar because they're the Ford models, but your thoughts on that?
So if you're looking at new cars, yes, you're going to see similar models because we stock them a certain way, the way our customers typically buy them. The Mavericks, we will have an assortment of them. We'll have some of the lower end, like we have some on the lot right now that are $22,000, and we have one $27,000 that's all-wheel drive and fancy wheels and a nice interior. And so if you're looking at a new car, yes, you're gonna see a lot of the same things over and over. If you're looking at a used car, that's a matter of what people are coming in with their trade-ins, and if they we can't be specific with that, which is why we call our customers when we do have somebody looking for a specific vehicle.
Before we went to break, we were talking about some of the calls that you get from dealerships, from car people, from just unique situations that we haven't either experienced, whether it's on the consumer side or even on the product or the dealership side. 847 bought a 2018 vehicle last week from a reputable dealer. So someone out there, they wanted to charge a $1,500 fee for a COVID/Chinese chip shortage. Is there something other dealers are doing? And this caller refused to negotiate. So we know we're hearing about supply chain. We're hearing about chips, we're hearing about, and Tom had mentioned it too, in a lot of different businesses, that things are having to be, in a lot of situations, added to products. So I think the consumer is maybe aware that there may be additional costs here, but for a situation like this with a chip, Tracy, is that something you've seen?
I haven't seen it, and it's not something that we do. If he bought a used car because it's 2018, and so if we
so
advertise,
that chip's already in there.
Chip's already in there. Yeah, I don't know what COVID had
and
to do with that.
There wasn't a shortage in 2018.
No,
it's a pre-COVID chip.
And he said he drove it home, so it probably had the chip in it when he test drove it even. But anyway, if we advertise a price, it's a price that we can sell a vehicle for. In this case, if the guy had to get $1,500 more for the vehicle, he should have just put it in the price and advertised it that way. People understand that. Vehicles are a little bit more expensive right now because there's such a shortage of them. It's supply and demand, and there's just not a whole lot of supply.
Talk about it as far as, you know, just the chips, and it's an essential part. You mentioned you drive it home, you need that. You know, everybody knows about the steering wheel and the wheels and everything else that you think of when you think of the car. But now, as technology has advanced, there's some parts in there that aren't necessarily in the team photo of things you would first think about when you think about a car. Talk a little bit about just the chip side of it, just that, I think, the dynamics with that. And then on the supply chain side, and both of you guys could add in on that, as far as some of these things that are made overseas. And we saw in COVID with the PPE, you know, we don't make masks, we don't make gloves, we didn't have any. The going forward, you know, just to be able to handle situations, we should make a lot of this stuff here.
Well, there's a couple of things with the chips. And the chips, I was just reading this in one of the Ford magazines, and these new F-150s, this Lightning, has over 100 chips in this. Now, these are automotive-grade chips, so as I was telling Tom, these chips have to be good to 60 below zero, and they have to be good up to 180 degrees, because if it's under the hood of a black vehicle in the middle of summer in Tucson, it's got to be able to handle some high temperatures. It also has to be able to bounce, and so you're not going to take your laptop computer and fire it up at 20 below or 120 degrees and then go bounce it down the road. It's a different type of chip. So as there are more, there's more and more technology in these vehicles, you need more and more chips. And I, there were a lot of things that I didn't even think about. And earlier we were talking about these safety items like the blind spot mirrors and the lane keeping. Every one of those requires a chip. The anti-lock brakes, that requires a chip. Everything has a chip to it. And then your infotainment centers, they have so many chips in them, you know, for every one of the sensors for the things that you're wanting to get out of your infotainment center.
Wow. When you think about the cars, we were talking about the Mika Moto Auction, some of those retro cars that were simple, simple in a different way. And for the chips, and we like to think of America as having the best and brightest, is it impossible for us to just decide we should have and be able to make these here? Is it a cost issue that they can't be made at a cost that would fit into the price point of the vehicle here, and that's why we get them overseas? What can we do?
Well, I think it was cost cutting to buy them overseas. However, there are three plants being built in the United States, two by Intel, one by Apple, to make automotive grade chips. And that is to help alleviate this problem. It will add some cost to the vehicle, I would imagine, but I don't even know how much a chip costs, to be honest with you. But there will be a much larger supply, and if something happens, for example, this fire in Taiwan that burned this factory, we won't have the issues that we have now because we'll have so many other suppliers for these chips.
You know what is amazing is, I think it was probably about a year ago, 2020 did an expose on the chips and the chip shortages. Just one machine to make the chips was $5 million, and there has to be like 200 of these machines in one of these factories. Mm-hmm. And this machine, it was as big as a desk, and it was $5 million. It pops out chips. And again, they had to have like 100 of these.
What are your guys' thoughts, both of you, whether, you know, because this is essential stuff. Obviously, we're talking about it on the radio. It's affecting business in a bunch of different ways. It's affecting our ability to get from point A to point B. Are factories like this, machines like the one that Tom mentioned, do those qualify as infrastructure for us? Is this the kind of thing, if the government is going to help and support people, social programs are great, we should have them, but they should be looking into equipping our factories to sort of insulate us from this kind of stuff?
Absolutely. I definitely think that that would be a good direction to head. I mean, even as we look at these green technologies, they still require a lot of this type of infrastructure, and we just don't have it. I don't want to get into politics, I don't think we're doing
just to
that
help
right
equip
now.
Us for those kind of things.
And the problem is you know, corporations need, you know, the revenue that they're getting off of selling their products to be able to reinvest that money into technology, which being make chip machines. I mean, making a lot of different things. But unfortunately, and again, I'm not trying to get into the politics part of things, but you know, if there's tax credits in there for you know, doing these machines, something that's actually going to produce, and it's going to lower the, you know, you start, you know, investing in some of this new technology, it's going to eventually bring down costs.
Oh, for sure. And just the costs that are right here, because you can look at that bottom line with the current business model where you have to get it from Taiwan or China. But if it's all sitting in a container in a boat out in the middle of a harbor, do you really have it? Are you really benefiting from it because you're not able to sell it to people?
Right. Or those containers ending up in the bottom of the ocean. Because one of the things that they've done, too, with some of these ships is to increase their yield. They were stacking containers higher than what they should have when they go out into the seas and the rolling seas. They have containers falling off.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
I mean, and that has created some shortage in industries. And you know, kind of on a different topic, Golf Pride, that makes grips for golf clubs.
Yes.
They had trouble getting them. You know, I tried to get some clubs regripped. They didn't have them because several containers fell off the ship and they were full of Golf Pride.
Wow.
So think about that. If it was made here, we wouldn't have that issue.
All of your treasure hunters out there, instead of going for like the Spanish doubloons or whatever, they're going to
go for golf grips. Hey, they're waterproof.
In like the 30 seconds when cars used to be simple. Of course, you guys, I know, talking off air, are huge fans of the car. So your old, like, retro car, like, what was your favorite car? We can't go into too depth, but just maybe like old car, no chips. Tom, your thoughts?
I had a 72 Di Tommaso Pantera.
Jeez, and I had
a 63 split window coupe.
That's a great car.
You know what? Those I've probably had over 100 cars, but those are probably two of my most memorable.
I still have a 63 Corvair convertible that I get a lot of flack about. You're a Ford dealer and you own a Chevy. But this was my mother-in-law's husband's car, and he bought it in November of 62, and so it's part of the family.
Oh, we'll talk a little more classic cars, at least a little bit before we end up the program. We're going to take a break and we come back, but here's the thing, 312-981-7200, a call came in, and we want to have your thoughts on that. We'll ask the guys, why can't the National Guard step in to get the products to our shores? They helped out with the vaccinations, mobilizing, whether it's the National Guard or some of the military forces, maybe they could help kind of bring those things in. You never know your thoughts. Keep it here. Home Sweet Home Chicago, 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane here with you in for Dave Hochberg for another maybe 25 minutes here as we get towards 6 o'clock. Home Sweet Home Chicago with the indigenous stars of the program that are here. We've got Tom Jenke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. And when we went to break, we were contemplating the big picture of supply chain, business, how do we get things that we need for the things that we need? And we had talked about those container ships that are out there, and there's so many, just the expense on the container side. Tom, you had mentioned it, it's like 10 times more what it used to be in order to get one of those containers in. And you look at the pictures of those ports out in Long Beach, it's just ships everywhere. Somebody had texted in from the 219 to say, like, well, why wouldn't we or should we consider getting the National Guard involved? When you think about whether it's a national rollout and on the important side, you know, with the vaccinations, the National Guard did a lot of that stuff. And I think they did a really good job kind of mobilizing and supporting it. Not sure, because you have, you know, all the business interests and the union interests for this. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I, you know, Tracy said it before, and I agree with him 100%. They're never going to send the National Guard into something that's run by basically by the unions. The unions have an incredible amount of strength, and the Longshoremen Union is one of the strongest.
Well, would it be considered like getting involved or interfering, or would it be considered supporting? Like them supporting them. And so, I mean, you guys are smiling, but if I ultimately want to have things brought in and I just don't either have the manpower to it, like what's the maybe I just don't know. What's the reason?
I think that the union is very strong, like Tom said, and I think that the way these unions would view this as, look, you're taking a job, you're taking money out of one of my union members' pockets by sending in the National Guard to come and do this. So I agree with Tom. I just don't see it happening, not with the unions the
way
they are.
Well, the other thing is the unions pour a lot of money into political parties, and nobody wants to mess with the unions. And you know, they have a very much of a stronghold, and I'm not so certain that the federal government always does a great job in trying to straighten things out. Sometimes they get in the way, and again, not trying to be political, but you know, we've talked to a lot of our suppliers, and Tracy, I'm sure your ear is to the ground on this too. We don't hear that there's going to be any reprieve until 2024.
Yeah, that's about what we're hearing too. Maybe mid-23, but certainly 24. But before we see any kind of real normalcy again, and normalcy to us is having, you know, 400 or 500 cars on the lot, you know, not 50 or 60. Right.
Now, one thing I will say is one of our major cabinet suppliers that went to 30 weeks, they just announced that they just went to 17. So I think what's happening is, you know, we had this massive surge for probably the better part of a year, you know, with people staying at home like we discussed before. I think some of the honeymoon is starting to end a little bit. You know, people aren't going and spending as much money, or when we see these lead times go down, it just means that their businesses, they haven't increased production. I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's just the level of business has gone down a little bit.
Tracy had mentioned some of just the changes and pivots within the industry in order to accommodate and move things forward by reaching out to former customers and seeing if you could facilitate some opportunities there. For Builder Supply, are there things that you're seeing where maybe other factories are opening up or saying, hey, you know what, there's more of a need, or maybe people are expanding some things? Are there any things happening there?
No, there's no new factories that are opening up. It's difficult to open factories, whether it's EPA regulations, you know, the cost of building factories. But, you know, here's the greatest part. Build factories and they will come. Well, the problem is they're building factories and they're not coming. They're having a hard... If they cannot take and bring the proper amount of people in to handle an increase in business, building new factories is not the answer. How do we get more people working?
And you got to get more people in those skilled areas, right, to do some of those things. We talked a little bit off the air as far as like the next generation of kids and what should they do. And we always hear on the news about people, you know, kids graduating from school with a lot of debt and no job to go along with it. You guys work in and around the trades, certainly, Tom, you do. And is that maybe the answer where you're seeing a shift? Because you said it, you build a factory, who's going to work in it? Is that there has to be just a new priority for some of these, I think, eternal and essential jobs and industries out there that maybe have been neglected over the years.
You know, what's amazing is look at the generation that's coming up now, which is far different than the generation, you know, that I grew up in. Think about it. Does somebody want to go work on a line in a factory, or do they want to sit there and tickle the keys of a computer? I mean, it's you know, people are looking at, you know, It's an easier job. Working sometimes in these factories is hard work, and they're great people that do it. But you have to have a certain mindset to be able to do that job day in and day out. And you talk about newer generations and asking them, do you want to be a line person in a factory, or do you want to be a computer programmer or something of that nature?
Well, in the past, America had a proud history on the manufacturing side. Over the years, as the world got smaller, we outsourced a lot of things, you know, in the name of costs. And so some of those jobs, those good paying jobs you could, you know, raise a family with, just didn't necessarily exist. But it's a new world now, right?
And I think the problem is twofold here, too. I mean, yes, you have the kids who would much rather play on a computer than they would work in a factory. Or, you know, the bigger opportunity to me right now is blue collar jobs, plumbers, carpenters, and there just doesn't seem to be enough of those. I don't know if that's what you're seeing as well, but what I'm seeing as the president of a chamber of commerce is these parents have blinders on and they think my kid has to go to college, but yet they don't have to. If not every kid needs to go to college, and that's what it's hard to get these parents to understand, because some of these blue collar jobs are paying six figures now for, you know, carpenters, plumbers, pipe fitters, all of these.
Even
things.
On the automotive side, like the auto repair people. I mean, it's all stuff that, you know, you know we're going to need. You know, it isn't like a flash in the pan kind of thing. These things are essential and they're going to be out there. And I think there just needs to be more promotion, because you're right. Parents have just been, and this has been a couple generations now, just kind of indoctrinated that this is what you need to do. You just have to go. You know, and I think it's left us really at a deficit for those kind of workers.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the industries that's being hit hard right now, and this is where you're seeing some of these rising costs, is by attrition, the amount of truck drivers out there is dwindling at a much greater rate than new kids coming in wanting to be truck drivers. I will tell you, people look and go, truck drivers, that's such an easy job. You sit your butt in a seat and go down the road. You know, you're gone overnight. I mean, how many nights, especially over the road? It is a hard job.
It's not for everybody. Some of the people in the industry love it, but just like you said, Tom, I think you need to be hardwired to it. But it is a lucrative thing. I've got a good friend and business partner in some ways that is a truck driver. That's what he is. And he says right now, if you have a CDL, you can get a job making six figures and like a $5,000 signing bonus or whatever. And so if people are thinking, I mean, and that's a guaranteed thing, you know, truck drivers aren't going to go, that's not going away. And if you're a student or someone wants to have a job, that's almost like a guaranteed thing. It isn't like let's hope this works out. That's something people need.
But, and you're exactly right, they can make a six figures doing it, where before they were making 45, 50, 55,000. Well, guess what? That 100,000 goes into the cost of goods sold. So your cost for materials are rising. So where's the balance? Where's the mental balance with people understanding that they're going to have to pay a little bit more for their Snicker bar because it costs that much more to deliver it?
Well, for the truck driver and for the fuel.
And for the
fuel. You're doubling the price of the fuel.
Yeah. Look at our fuel is up at $1 a gallon. in a year.
It's all about supply and demand from the 423. They still have a chocolate toilet in the powder room, so they don't need, but you got to upgrade, right? You need a new chocolate toilet. We'll talk about that and much more. And you can add your thoughts as well. The Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. It is the Sweet Home Chicago Show. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg for another handful of minutes. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
WGN, it is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, Home Sweet Home Chicago, and with our stars of the program, Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet, and of course, Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. Guys, we're going to finish up the program here for the next handful of minutes and talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on with both of the businesses. So, Tom, let's talk about, you know, what are things that people should take time and address right now? And then what are some of the hot things and maybe some opportunities or deals going on at Builder Supply?
Well, I'll tell you, if people have not recognized it, last week it was in the 70s, and this week it's in the 50s.
It's crazy how that happened.
And believe it or not, in the next few weeks, it's going to be into the 30s, then into the 20s. Think about your front door. If people are not so inclined to replace their front doors when there's 2 feet of snow out or it's 20 below zero. So really, now is the time to do it. So many people have decided to hold off until next year because it takes that 8 to 10 to 16 weeks to get it. Come into our store, just like our customer did earlier this week. Every once in a while, I get out onto the floor. My children let me go out there.
Your security detail is there?
My security detail, yes. My children, they try to keep me in an office all day. But just that the way the guy's eyes lit up when he saw a door that was right there, and he bought it that day, took it home, and installed it that weekend. We do have installers, too, to be able to do it, from not only from kitchen cabinets, but, you know, think about the things that has weather sensitive. And outdoor work is weather sensitive right now. So as much as we'd love to see people and they're coming in daily looking at kitchens and whatever, you think about front doors. We have made a huge investment. And right now I'm going to guesstimate in exterior doors, I probably have about 500 in stock.
The door kind of world, certainly there's like the traditional wood doors and some classic things that are happening, but what are doors made of these days and like what are some of the trends?
Wood doors in Chicago is almost taboo anymore. The only way that you can really use a wood door on a house and have it warranted for any reason is you have to have an overhang over that door 3 feet or more, or no manufacturer will place a warranty, especially when it's in Chicago.
Wow. Okay.
So fiberglass. Fiberglass is huge. We have a brand new line of doors that is composite. Composite, this door is incredible. It's finished like a piano. We have them. We probably have about 130 of them in stock right now. We really are not into I just brokered out and sold 441 steel doors to somebody in Pennsylvania because I don't sell them, and I need to make room in the store for the fiberglass doors. So, you know, we just got a huge shipment of fiberglass interior doors on top of the composite. So really come in. You have a huge selection right now.
And are there any supply chain issues with fiberglass and fiberglass doors and composite doors?
Well, those composite doors, we actually import those. It took me 6 months to get our first load. Now, they're telling me that we're only going to be at about 120 days going forward, which I will believe when I see it. So we are just going to start popping orders in left and right. Fiberglass doors, those are traditionally made in the United States. Is there some supply side issues on that? Absolutely. These factories are out 10, 12 weeks, and in some cases even longer. We try to find sometimes surplus doors. We have a load of surplus exterior doors coming in on Thursday. It's just, they might have, another company might have measured wrong. We buy all these doors. You wouldn't believe the type of deals that we can get on this. We've got deals that in some of those surplus doors, they're $5,000 doors that we're selling for $1,500.
Wow. And to have the capacity to be able to capitalize on that, especially in this environment, and pass that opportunity along to the consumers is great. And I'm sure with the fiberglass, a lot of different styles and trends and colors and all those. And so, Tom, give the website and the address too for people to come in and see you. And,
Actually, like we always say, we're 5 miles due east of the Oak Brook Shopping Center. So, you know, people think, oh, Builder Supply out in Broadview, we're in the city. We're really not. We're just a couple miles east of 294 and just a couple miles south of 290. But go to our website. We've got a brilliant gal that handles all of our marketing in-house, and she's built a website that's tremendous. It's a lot of information. It's pricing. It's buildersupplyoutlet.com. Or you can call us at 708-343-3900.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all that. Tracy Conn over at Joe Cotton Ford for you and the business. And this is an opportunity for people to get in on something. Certainly the Maverick and other things. Give some information.
So, if you want to come and drive a Maverick or a Bronco, that seems to be the popular things right now. I have them in stock. So come see us at Gary and North Avenue in Carroll Stream or at JoeCottonFord.com. Or you can call us at 630-682-9200. However, I do have to say, Tom, that I have a brilliant woman that built our website as well, and it's my wife.
And Tracy, is there anything coming up as we get into the holiday season where people are thinking any kind of special either rebates or offers or things that are going on at Joe Cotton?
Yeah, so every year, well, for 43 years, the F-150 has been the best-selling vehicle in the world, not only the United States, and there's been a lot of competition this year because of the lack of chips. And so Ford is putting a big push on between now and the end of the year. So we have 0% financing for 72 months on the Ford F-150. And Tom was asking me, you know, when's a good time to get one? Well, right now is a good time to get one if you're looking to finance, because those programs just weren't here. They haven't been here for over a year. And now we have them.
And think about it. 0% for 72 months. Why would you even pay for a vehicle?
Right.
Why not use Ford's money?
Use right. Tracy's They're, money.
Well, it's kind of like Tracy's money. But really think about that. I mean, capitalize on 0%.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully people have gotten some great opportunities and insight to spend their money in some great ways related to this here on Home Sweet Home Chicago. Big thanks to everybody listening to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Thanks to, of course, Tom Janke from Builder Supply Outlet, Tracy Conn from Joe Cotton Ford. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Congratulations to David Hochberg for everything that's happening today. It's been Dane here, and continue listening to 720 WGN.